Tales of Narnia by C.S. Lewis. The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, dramatised by Brian Sibley. The storyteller is Maurice Denham.
It was many years after my adventures in Narnia that I heard of the place again. I'd grown up and become a professor. In fact, I was quite an old man and lived in a big old country house. It was during the war, when lots of bombs were being dropped on London, and children in London were sent away to live in the country where it was safer. Four young people came to live with me, and with their visit began the second Narnian adventure.
Hello there. I'm Professor Kirk, and you must be the Pevensey children. Perhaps you'd be kind enough to tell me which of you is which.
I'm Peter, sir.
My name's Susan.
Edmund?
And I'm Lucy.
Ah, good. Well, it's very nice to have you here, and I hope you'll be happy. I'm afraid I don't know much about children. So long since I was a child myself, I've forgotten most of what I knew, and I never had any children of my own. Anyway, I expect you'll find some way to keep yourselves amused.
Thank you, sir. We'll try not to be a nuisance.
Thank you.
I doubt if you'll be that. You'll find it rather difficult to be a nuisance to anyone in a house this size, although I'm not sure my housekeeper, Mrs. McCready, would altogether agree with me. So perhaps you'll try to keep out of her way if you can. It'll make life easier for all of us. Now, let me show you to your rooms.
I reckon it's going to be great here. That old chap will let us do anything we like.
Peter's right. I think he's an old dear.
Oh, come off it, Susan.
It's time you were in bed, Edmund.
Who are you to say when I'm going to go to bed? Go to bed yourself.
Hadn't we all better go to bed? There'll be a row if we're heard talking.
No, there won't, Lucy. It's about 10 minutes' walk from here down to that dining room, and any amount of stairs and passages in between.
What's that?
It's only an owl, stupid. And I bet there's more than just owl's land here. Did you see those mountains as we came along? And the woods? There might be eagles and stags.
And what about badgers?
And rabbits?
Yes, and foxes.
We might find anything in a place like this. Let's go and explore tomorrow.
Yes, let's do that.
Good idea.
Oh, yes.
Of course, it would be raining.
Oh, do stop grumbling, Ed. 10 to 1 could clear up in an hour or so.
I wanted to go exploring.
Well, if we can't explore outdoors, let's explore indoors.
Yes, great!
Where shall we start?
And that was how the adventure began. You see, my house is the sort of place you never seem to come to the end of.
What a long room.
And all full of paintings.
I expect these are Professor Kirk's ancestors.
What a boring old lot.
Come on.
The first few doors they tried led only into spare bedrooms. But then they found another door. And another. And eventually they looked into a room that was quite...
empty.
Not quite. There's that big old wardrobe.
I wonder what's in there.
Oh, look! Here's something else!
What?
A dead blow bottle on the window!
Oh, you sick child!
God, this really is exciting.
Not much point staying here.
Come on, then. Let's try down here.
There's some more stairs.
Doesn't take much to amuse you lot, does it?
I'll just take a look in the wardrobe.
Come on, Lucy.
I'm coming in a minute. I expect it'll be locked. Oh, it's open. Mothballs! The wardrobe's full of fur coats. There's even more coats behind. I've never seen so many fur coats. This must be a very big wardrobe. I think I'll just climb in. That's funny. I can't feel the back. It must be simply enormous. What's that? More mothballs, I suppose. No, it seems like... but it can't be. Snow? Ouch! What's that? Why, it feels just like the branches of a tree. Something's falling. It is snow. There's a light over there. But how? Oh, I'm not in the wardrobe. I'm in a wood, and it really is snowing. I can see the open door back there and the empty room, so I can easily get back if anything goes wrong. So that's where the light's coming from now. It's a lamppost. But what's a lamppost doing in the middle of a wood? Something's coming. Oh, what a strange-looking person.
He was, indeed. Only a little taller than Lucy, he wore a red scarf and carried an umbrella, white with snow. From the waist upwards, he was like a man, but his legs were shaped like a goat's, and instead of feet, he had goat's hoofs. He also had a tail, neatly caught up over the arm that held the umbrella. This kept it from trailing in the snow. Sticking out of his curly black hair were two short, pointed horns. He was a fawn.
He's certainly in a hurry. I wonder what all those parcels are he's carrying. Looks like he's been doing his Christmas shopping. Excuse me.
Oh, gracious me.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to make you jump. You've dropped all your parcels. Here, let me help you pick them up.
Thank you. Forgive my asking. I don't want to be inquisitive, but should I be right in thinking that you are a daughter of Eve?
My name's Lucy.
But you are, forgive me, you are what they call a girl?
Of course I'm a girl.
You are, in fact, human?
Yes, of course I'm human.
Oh, to be sure. How stupid of me, but I've never seen a son of Adam or daughter of Eve before. I am delighted. Allow me to introduce myself. My name is Tumnus.
I'm very pleased to meet you, Mr. Tumnus.
And may I ask, O Lucy, daughter of Eve, how you have come into Narnia?
Narnia? What's that?
This is the land of Narnia, where we are now. All that lies between the lamppost and the great castle of Caer Paravel on the eastern sea. And you? You have come from the wild woods of the west?
I got in through the wardrobe, in the spare room.
Ah, a spare room. Wardrobe. Daughter of Eve, from the far land of Spare Oom, where the eternal summer reigns around the bright city of Wardrobe. How would it be if you came and had tea with me?
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Tumnus, but I was wondering whether I ought to be getting back.
It's only just around the corner, and there'll be a roaring fire, and toast, and sardines, and cake.
Well, it's very kind of you, but I shan't be able to stay long.
If you will take my arm, daughter of Eve, I shall be able to hold the umbrella over both of us. That's the way. Now, off we go. Here we are. Boiled eggs, sardines on toast, buttered toast with honey, tea and cake.
That looks lovely, Mr. Tumnus.
Oh, well, do start.
This is a very cosy little home.
Oh, thank you. Of course, it was just a cave when my father found it, but he made it into one of the nicest homes in these parts. That's my father's picture over the mantelpiece.
Your father?
How's your egg?
Just right, thank you.
Good. All those books there, my father's. He was a very well-educated fawn. And he knew so many tales of old Narnia. More toast?
Thank you. Tell me about Narnia in the old days.
As he did, Lucy wanted to cry and laugh and go to sleep all at the same time. So beautiful was it, Lucy hardly noticed the hours slipping by.
Oh, Mr. Tumnus, I'm so sorry to stop you, but I really must go home. I only meant to stay for a few minutes.
It's no good now, you know.
No good? What do you mean? I've got to go home at once. The others will be wondering what has happened to me. Mr. Tumnus, whatever's the matter? Mr. Tumnus, don't. Please don't. What's wrong? Aren't you well? Dear Mr. Tumnus. Mr. Tumnus, stop it at once. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. A great big thorn like you. Here, take my handkerchief.
Thank you.
Now, what on earth are you crying about?
I'm crying because I'm such a bad fawn.
I don't think you're a bad fawn at all. I think you're a very good fawn. In fact, you're the nicest fawn I've ever met.
Oh, you wouldn't say that if you knew. No, I'm a bad fawn. I don't suppose there ever was a worse fawn since the beginning of the world.
But what have you done?
My old father would never have done a thing like this.
A thing like what?
Like what I've done. You see, I'm in the pay of the White Witch.
Who's she?
The white is she that has got all Narnia under her thumb. It's she that makes it always winter. Always winter, and never Christmas. Think of that.
How awful. What does she pay you for?
Oh, that's the worst of it. I'm a kidnapper for her. That's what I am. Look at me, daughter of Eve. Would you believe that I'm the sort of fawn to meet a poor innocent child in the wood, one that has never done me any harm, and pretend to be friendly with it, and invite it home to my cave, all for the sake of lulling it asleep and then handing it over to the White Witch?
No, I'm sure you wouldn't do anything of the sort.
But I have.
What do you mean?
You are the child. I had orders from the White Witch that if ever I saw a son of Adam or daughter of Eve in the woods, I was to catch them and hand them over to her. And you were the first I've ever met.
Oh, but you won't, Mr. Tumnus. You won't, will you? You mustn't.
And if I don't, she's sure to find out. And she'll have my tail cut off and my horns sawn off and my beard plucked out. And if she's specially angry, she'll turn me into stone, and I shall be only a statue of a fawn in her horrible house until the four thrones of Caer Paravel are filled. And goodness knows when that will happen, if ever.
I'm very sorry, Mr. Tumnus, but please let me go home.
Yes, of course I will. I've got to. I see that now. I hadn't known what humans were like before I met you. I can't give you up to the witch, not now that I know you. I'll see you back to the lamppost. But we must be off at once, and we must go as quietly as we can. The whole wood is full of her spies. Even some of the trees are on her side. Come along. There. There's the lamppost.
Yes.
Can you find your way to Spare Oom and Wardrobe from here, Daughter of Eve?
Yes, I'm sure I can.
Then be off home as quick as you can. Can you ever forgive me for what I meant to do?
Why, of course I can. And I do hope you won't get into too much trouble.
Farewell, daughter of Eve. Perhaps I may keep the handkerchief?
Yes, please do. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I'm back. It's all right, everyone. I've come back.
What on earth are you talking about, Lucy?
Susan, haven't you been wondering where I was?
You've been hiding, have you? Poor old Lou, hiding and nobody noticed. You'll have to hide longer than that if you want people to start looking for you.
But I've been away for hours and hours.
She's crazy.
What do you mean, Lou?
Exactly what I said. It was just after breakfast when I went into the wardrobe, and I'd been away for hours and had tea and all sorts of things have happened.
Don't be silly, Lucy. You've only just come out of that room a moment ago, and you were there then.
She's not being silly at all. She's just making up a story for fun, aren't you, Lee? And why shouldn't she?
No, Peter, I'm not. It's a magic wardrobe.
No.
And there's a wood inside it, and it's snowing. And there's a fawn and a witch, and it's called Narnia. Come and see.
Don't be stupid.
Please, please, come and see.
All right, we'll come. You lead the way.
Now go in and see for yourselves.
Honestly, Lucy, just an ordinary wardrobe. Look, there's the back of it.
What a surprise.
Looks pretty solid to me, Lou. We half believed you for a moment.
But it isn't a story, really and truly. It was all different just now. Honestly, it was. I promise.
Come on, Lou. That's going a bit far. You've had your joke. Hadn't you better drop it?
No, I won't, because it's not a joke. It's a truth.
And for the next few days, Lucy was very miserable. And that's how things went on until one wet day when the children decided to play hide-and-seek. Susan was it, and when the others ran off to hide, Lucy ran straight to the room where the wardrobe was.
I shan't hide in the wardrobe, because that will only start the others off talking about it again. But I want to have one more look inside. Oh, no, someone's coming. I'll have to hide in there after all.
There she goes. I'm going to follow her. She thinks I'm Susan come to catch her, and so she's keeping quiet at the back. Lucy, where are you? I know you're here. I'll just open the door to get some light.
That's funny.
Where is the door? Thank goodness there's some light. The door must have swung open on its own. It can't be. I don't believe it. It's just like Lucy said. So so her imaginary country wasn't imaginary after all. Lucy! Lucy! I'm here too, Lucy. It's Edmund. I suppose she's angry about all the things I've been saying lately. Lucy! Look, I'm sorry. I didn't believe you. You were right. Okay, do come out. She's probably sulking somewhere. Oh, well, I'm going back. Hello? What's that?
Two reindeer, as white as snow, with gilded antlers, were pulling a sledge towards him at great speed. Driving the reindeer was a fat dwarf, dressed in white fur, and wearing a red hood with a long gold tassel. Behind him sat a great lady, covered in white fur up to her throat, and holding a long golden wand, and wearing a golden crown. The most striking thing about her was her face, which was very white, except for her very red mouth.
Stop there! And what, pray, are you?
My name's Edmund.
Is that how you address a queen?
I beg your pardon, Your Majesty. I didn't know.
Not know? The Queen of Narnia? Ha! You shall know us better hereafter. But I repeat, what are you?
Please, Your Majesty, I don't know what you mean. I'm at school. At least I was.
But what are you? Are you an overgrown dwarf that has cut off its beard?
No, Your Majesty. I never had a beard. I'm a boy.
A boy? Do you mean you are a son of Adam, what they call a human?
Of course I am, Your Majesty.
And how, pray, did you come to enter my dominions?
Please, Your Majesty, I came in through a wardrobe.
A wardrobe? What do you mean?
I opened the door and just found myself here, Your Majesty.
Ah, the door from the world of men. This may wreck all. But he is only one, and easily dealt with. My poor child, how cold you look. Come and sit with me here on the sledge, and I will put my cloak round you, and we will talk.
Yes, Your Majesty.
There, that's better. Perhaps you would like something hot to drink.
Yes, please, Your Majesty.
Very well.
But how?
With this. One drop of liquid from this bottle dropped upon the snow and... your hot drink. Pass it to him, dwarf.
Yes, Your Majesty. At once, Your Majesty. Here you are, son of Adam.
Thank you.
Is that good?
I've never tasted anything like it. It's so sweet and foamy and creamy. It's warming me right down to my toes.
Good. But it is dull to drink without eating, son of Adam. What would you like best to eat?
Turkish delight, please, Your Majesty.
Very well. Another drop and... the very best Turkish delight.
Gosh, I've never seen such a big box.
Dwarf, undo the ribbons and open the box for him.
Certainly, Your Majesty. Here you are, boy.
Go on, try it. Well?
Wonderful, thank you.
Now then, tell me about yourself.
Well, I'm Edmund Pevensey. And I've got one brother, Peter, and two sisters, Susan and Lucy. Oh, this Turkish light is good.
There are four of you, you say?
That's right.
Two sons of Adam and two daughters of Eve, neither more nor less?
Yes, I told you that, Your Majesty.
I see. And how many of you have been to Narnia?
Only me and Lucy. She's been here before and met a fawn.
Fawn? What was his name?
Mr. something or other funny name. Tumnus, yes, that's it. Mr. Tumnus.
Tumnus. I'll have his tail. And who else knows about Narnia?
Nobody.
Are you quite sure?
Yes, Your Majesty.
Son of Adam, I should so much like to meet your brother and sisters. Will you bring them to see me?
Maybe.
Because if you did come again, bringing them with you, of course, I'd be able to give you some more Turkish delight.
Why can't I have some more now?
The magic will only work once. In my own house, it would be another matter. It's a lovely place, my house. I'm sure you would like it. There are whole rooms full of Turkish delight. And what's more, I have no children of my own. I want a nice boy whom I could bring up as a prince, and who would be king of Narnia when I am gone. While he was prince, he would wear a gold crown and eat Turkish delight all day long. And you're much the cleverest and handsomest young man I've ever met. I think I would like to make you the prince.
Me?
Someday, when you bring the others to visit me.
Why not now?
Oh, but if I took you there now, I shouldn't see your brother and your sisters. I very much want to know your charming relations. You are to be the prince, and later on, the king. But you must have courtiers and nobles. I will make your brother a duke and your sisters duchesses.
There's nothing special about them. Anyway, I don't even know the way back to my own country.
That's easy. Do you see that lamp? Well, straight on beyond that is the way to the world of men. And now look the other way and tell me if you can see two little hills rising above the trees.
I think I can.
Well, my house is between those two hills. So next time you come, you only have to find the lamppost and look for the two hills and walk through the wood till you find my house. But remember, you must bring the others.
I'll do my best.
And by the way, you needn't tell them about it. It would be more fun to keep it a secret between us two, wouldn't it? I'm sure that would be best. You see, if your sister has met one of the fauns, she may have heard strange stories about me. Nasty stories that might make her afraid to come to me. Fauns will say anything, you know. And now...
Please, 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 couldn't I just have one more piece of Turkish delight to eat on the way home?
No. You must wait till next time. On, dwarf.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Next time. Don't forget, come soon.
Oh, Edmund, so you've got in too, isn't it
all
wonderful?
All right. It is a magic wardrobe after all. I'll say I'm sorry if you like, but where on earth have you been all this time? I've been looking for you everywhere.
If I'd known you'd got in, I would have waited for you. I've been having lunch with Mr. Tumnus, and the White Witch hasn't done anything to him for letting me go, so he thinks she can't have found out.
The White Witch? Who's she?
She's a terrible person who calls herself the Queen of Narnia, though she has no right to be queen at all. She can turn people into stones and do all kinds of terrible things, and everyone hates her.
Who told you all this stuff?
Mr. Tumnus.
You can't always believe what fauns say.
Who said?
Everyone knows it. Ask anybody you like. Anyway, let's go home.
Yes, let's. Oh, Edmund, I am glad you've got in too. The others will have to believe in Narnia now that we've both been here. What fun it will be. Come on.
What's up with Lucy?
She's pretty excited about something.
We're in here, Lou.
I'm glad I found you.
I'd hardly say you found us. The idea of hiding...
Lucy, what is it?
It's all true. It really is.
Hello, everybody. Game over.
It seems that way. But go on, Lou.
It's there. There is a country you can get to through the wardrobe. Edmund and I both got in. We met one another in there, in the wood, didn't we? Go on, Edmund. Tell them about it.
What's all this about, Ed?
Oh, well...
Tell us, Ed.
Well, Lucy and I have been playing, pretending that story of hers about a country in the wardrobe was true.
But Edmund...
Just for fun, of course. There's nothing there, really. I mean, how could there be?
Edmund!
Oh, wait a minute, Lou.
There she goes again. That's the worst of young kids. They always...
Shut up, Ed.
Peter, do you think we ought to tell the professor, in case Lou's not very well?
That's why Susan and I thought we should come and talk to you, Professor Kirk.
Ah, well, let me ask you both a question. What is it that makes you disbelieve Lucy's story?
Edmund said they'd only been pretending.
Yeah, but tell me, who would you say was usually the more truthful, your brother or your sister?
That's what's so odd. Up until now, I'd have said Lucy every time.
Mm-hmm. And Susan?
Same as Peter. But this couldn't be true. I mean, a land inside a wardrobe.
Well, you see, there are only three possibilities. Either your sister is telling lies, or she's mad.
Mad?
Or she's telling the truth.
What do you mean?
Well, now, you know she doesn't tell lies, and it's obvious she's not mad. For the moment, then, unless any further evidence turns up, we must assume that Lucy is telling the truth.
But even if there was such a place, Lucy had no time to go anywhere. She came running after us the very moment we were out of the room. It was less than a minute, and she pretended to have been away for hours.
Ah, well, exactly. And that is the very thing that makes her story likely to be true. If there really is a door in this house that leads to some other world, and if Lucy had found her way there into that world, I shouldn't be at all surprised to find that the other world had a separate time of its own.
A separate time, Professor?
Yes. Maybe, however long you stayed there, it would never take up any of our time. On the other hand, I don't think many girls of her age would invent that idea for themselves.
You mean, if she was pretending, she would have hidden for a reasonable time before coming out and telling her story?
Precisely.
But do you really believe that there could be other worlds all over the place, just round the corner, like that?
Well, nothing is more probable.
But what are we to do?
Well, I think we might all try minding our own business. Oh, by the way, there's a party from the local historical society coming to see the house tomorrow. Now, Mrs. MacReady will be taking the round, so perhaps you'd better do your best not to get under their feet. Now, much the best thing if you keep out of the way.
I wish I could try this on. I've always fancied being a knight in armour. The great Sir Peter riding off to fight another heroic battle.
You'd be lucky it's too big for you. What we could do is see if we can take it to bits.
Look out, here comes MacReady, a whole gang with her.
Come on, we'll go through the library.
But the children seem to find themselves being followed everywhere.
Here they come again.
Where now? Here, let's get into the wardrobe room till they've passed. No one will follow us in here.
Want a bed?
Oh, do be quiet, Edmund.
See?
Quick,
there's nowhere else. Into the wardrobe.
Can't you move over a bit, Susan? I'm just as uncomfortable as you are.
For goodness sake, both of you, be quiet or they'll hear us.
I wish they'd go away.
Oh, I'm getting cramped.
So am I, thanks to you. Oh, and what's that awful smell?
Mothballs. I expect the pockets of these coats are full of them.
There's something sticking into my back.
And isn't it cold?
Now you mention it, yes. It is cold. And it's wet too. What's the matter with this wardrobe?
Let's get out. They've gone.
Oh, what's wrong, Susan?
What's up now?
What is it?
I'm sitting against a tree.
And
look, it's getting light over there.
So it is. And look there and there, trees.
And this wet stuff, snow.
So
why?
It is.
I do believe we've got into Lucy's wood after all. Have we, Lou?
Yes, this is it.
I'm really sorry I didn't believe you, Lou. Forgive me.
Of course.
What do we do now?
Do? Why, go and explore the wood, of course.
Oh, it's so cold. What about putting on some of these coats?
Well, they're not ours.
Oh, I'm sure no one would mind. It isn't as if we wanted to take them out of the house. We shan't even be taking them out of the wardrobe.
I never thought of that. Come on, then.
We can pretend we're Arctic explorers.
This is going to be exciting enough without pretending. Let's start, shall we?
Just a minute. Ought we be bearing a bit more to the left? That is, if we were aiming for the lamppost.
So,
Edmund,
you really were here.
Well, what if I was?
But fancy making out Lucy was telling lies.
Where are we going anyway?
I think Lou ought to be the leader. Goodness knows she deserves it. Where will you take us, Lou?
What about going to see Mr. Tumnus? He's the nice fawn I told you about.
Good idea.
Lead the way then, Lucy. Come on, Edmund, try and keep up.
So off they set, walking briskly and stamping their feet. At first, Lucy wondered whether she'd be able to find the way, but she recognised an odd-looking tree in one place and a stump in another, and brought them at last to the very door of Mr. Tumnus's cave. But there, a terrible surprise awaited them.
Phew, somebody certainly had a go at this place. The door's smashed off its hinges.
Let's go inside.
Mind how you go, Lou. It's awfully dark.
There's been a fire. So Somebody's burnt all the furniture.
Oh, Mr. Thomas's lovely books.
And there's broken china everywhere.
That's the tea service he used when I came to tea.
Oh, dear.
No.
What is it?
It's only a picture of some ugly old character.
It's Mr. Tumnus's father.
Somebody slashed it to shreds with a knife.
Well, I must say, this is a washout.
Hello, what's this? It's a letter or something. Nailed right through the carpet to the floor.
What's it say?
I can't read it in this light. Let's get out in the open.
Well, it was a waste of time coming here.
Oh, do give over, Ed.
What does it say, Peter?
The former occupant of these premises, the Fawn Tumnus, is under arrest and awaiting his trial on a charge of high treason against Her Imperial Majesty, Jadis, Queen of Narnia, Chatelaine of Caer Paravel, Empress of the Lone Islands. Also a charge of comforting her said Majesty's enemies, harbouring spies, and fraternising with humans. Morgrim, Captain of the Secret Police. Long live the Queen.
Oh, I don't know I'm going to like this place after all.
Who's Queen Jadis, Lou?
She isn't a real queen at all. She's a horrible witch, the White Witch. It's all on my account that poor Mr. Tumnus has got into trouble. He hid me from the witch and showed me the way back. We simply must try to rescue him.
A lot we could do when we haven't even got anything to eat.
Shut up, Ed. What do you think, Susan?
I don't want to go on, and I wish we'd never come. But I've a horrid feeling that she's right.
That's what I feel, too. I'd suggest we went back and got some food. Only I'm not sure we'd get into this country again once we got out of it. I think we'll have to go on. If only we knew where Mr. Tumnus was imprisoned.
Look, there's a robin. It's the first bird I've seen here. I wonder if birds can talk in Narnia. It almost looks as if it wanted to say something to us. Please, can you tell us where Tumnus the Fawn has been taken to?
Congratulations! Now you've frightened him off.
He's only flown to the next tree.
I think he means us to follow him.
I have an idea. He does. What do you think, Peter?
Well, we might as well try it.
The robin appeared to understand the matter thoroughly. It kept going from tree to tree, always a few yards ahead of them, but always so near that they could easily follow it. And in this way, they travelled on for about half an hour.
Peter, how do we know which side that bird is on? Why shouldn't it be leading us into a trap?
I'm sure a robin wouldn't be on the wrong side.
If it comes to that, which is the wrong side? How do we know the fawns are in the right and the queen is in the wrong? We don't really know anything about either.
The fawn saved Lucy.
He said he did, but how do we know that? And there's another thing. Has anyone the least idea of the way home from here?
I hadn't thought of that.
Oh, no!
What's the matter, Lou?
The robin, it's flown away. And now what do we do?
Shh! Look!
What?
There's something moving among the trees over there to the left.
Where?
There! It goes again.
I saw it that time, too. It's still there, behind that big tree.
What is it?
Whatever it is, it's something that doesn't want to be seen.
But what's it like?
It's some kind of animal. Look, quick, there it is.
I know what it is. It's a beaver. I saw the tail.
It's holding its paw up to its lips, as if warning us not to make noise.
Now it's beckoning to us.
It wants us to go with it.
I know. The question is, are we going to? What do you think, Lou?
I think it's a nice beaver.
Yes, but how do we know?
Won't we have to risk it?
Further in. Come further in. Right in here. We're not safe in the open.
Come on, let's give it a try. All keep close together. We ought to be a match for one beaver if it turns out to be an enemy.
Only when it had led them into a dark spot where the trees grew close together did the beaver begin to talk to them.
Are you the sons of Adam and the daughters of Eve?
I suppose so, at least with some of them.
Shh. Not so loud, please. We're not safe even here.
Why? What are you afraid of? There's no one here but ourselves.
There are the trees.
Trees?
Yes. They're always listening. Most of them are on our side, but there are trees that would betray us to her. You know who I mean.
If we're talking about sides, how do we know you're a friend?
Not meaning to be rude, Mr. Beaver. But you see, we're strangers.
Quite right. Here is my token.
Oh, of course. It's my handkerchief, the one I gave to poor Mr. Tumnus.
That's right. Poor fellow. He got wind of the arrest and he gave this to me. He said if anything happened to him, I must meet you here and take you to...
To who, Mr. Beaver?
Shh. They say Aslan is on the move. Perhaps has already landed.
Now a very curious thing happened. At the name of Aslan, each one of the children felt something jump inside them. Edmund felt a sensation of mysterious horror. Peter felt suddenly brave and adventurous. Susan felt as if beautiful music had just floated by her. And Lucy... it got the feeling you have when you wake up and realise it's the beginning of the holidays.
What about poor Mr. Tucker?
Shh! Not here. I must take you all to where we can have a real talk and also some dinner. Will you come?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Beaver.
Right. Follow me and keep together. Be as quiet as you can.
They hurried along behind the Beaver, who led them through the thickest parts of the forest for over an hour. Everyone was beginning to feel very tired and very hungry when suddenly they came out under the open sky and found themselves looking down into a steep, narrow valley.
What a beautiful place.
It's more beautiful in the spring when the river isn't frozen. But then, it hasn't been spring in Narnia for many years.
There's a dam. Did you make that, Mr. Beaver?
Merely a trifle. Merely a trifle. And it isn't really finished.
It's lovely. Is that your home on top?
It is. And if that smoke is anything to go by, I'd say Mrs. Beaver is expecting us. I'll lead the way.
We're right behind you, Mr. Beaver. Ed, what are you staring at?
Those two small hills over there.
I want a nice boy whom I could bring up as a prince and who would be king of Narnia when I am gone.
Come on, Ed, don't dawdle.
Well, now, here we are. Come inside, everyone. I found them, Mrs. Beaver.
Oh, my dear.
Here are the sons and daughters of Adam and Eve.
So you've come at last. At last. Oh, to think I should have lived to see this day. Dearie me, me sitting here at my sewing machine. What must you think?
Don't fuss, Mrs. Beaver.
Don't fuss, he says, as if this wasn't one of the most important days in the whole history of Narnia.
Mrs. Beaver, they are tired and cold and hungry.
Of course they are. Now come along in, come along in. Get those coats off. Warm yourselves. Here we are. So everything's ready. I dare say you're hungry.
We are starving, thank you, Mrs.
You
Beaver.
You must be. Well, we've got... fresh trout.
Oh, lovely.
And boiled potatoes for dinner. Oh. Followed by marmalade rolls.
Oh, I love it.
Which I hope will be to your liking.
Sounds wonderful.
Thank you, Mrs. Beaver.
Well, then come to the table, then, and I'll dish up.
Well, now, can anybody eat any more?
Not me. No. I'm completely full.
So am I, Miss. Yes. Me too, but that was a lovely meal, Mrs. Beaver, really.
Good. Well, then, I'll make us a nice pot of tea.
Good. After tea, we can get down to business.
Oh, it's coming on to snow again.
Oh, good.
Good.
Oh, good.
We shan't have any visitors. And if anyone should have been trying to follow us, why? He won't find any tracks.
Oh, that's a please will you tell us what happened today, Mr. Tumnus?
Ah, yes, that's a very, very bad business indeed. There's no doubt he was taken off by the police. I got that from a bird who saw it done.
But where's he been taken to?
Well, they were headed northwards when they were last seen. We all know what that means.
No, we don't.
I'm afraid it means they were taking him to the White Witch's house.
But what will they do to him, Mr. Beaver?
Well, you can't exactly say for sure.
All full of statues, they say her house is. In the courtyard, up the stairs, in the hall. People she's turned into stone.
Stone?
Oh, no. But can we? I mean, we must do something to save him.
Oh, I don't doubt you'd save him if you could, dearie. But you've no chance of getting into that house against her will and ever coming out again.
Alive.
But the fawn saved my sister at his own risk. We can't just leave him to have that done to him.
It's no good, son of Adam. It's no good you're trying, of all people. But now Aslan is on the move.
Oh, yes, do tell us about Aslan.
Who is Aslan?
Aslan? Why, don't you know?
Who?
He's the king. He's the lord of the whole of Narnia. But not often here, you understand. Never in my time or my father's time. But the word is that he's come back. He's in Narnia at this moment. He'll settle the White Queen, all right. It is he, not you, that will save Mr. Tumnus.
How do you know she won't turn him into stone, too?
Oh, Lord love you, son of Adam. What a simple thing to say.
Turn him into stone. If she can stand on her 2 feet and look him in the face, it'll be the most she can do, and more than I expect of her.
Don't you worry about Aslan. He'll put all to right. As it says in the old rhyme in these parts, wrong will be right when Aslan comes in sight. At the sound of his roar, sorrows will be no more. When he bares his teeth, winter meets its death. And when he shakes his mane, we shall have spring again. You'll understand when you see him.
But shall we see him?
Why, daughter of Eve, that's what I brought you here for.
Oh,
I'm to lead you to where you shall meet him.
Is he a man?
Aslan a man? Certainly not. I tell you, he is a king of Narnia and the son of the great emperor beyond the sea. Aslan is a lion. The lion. The great lion.
I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion.
Oh, that you will, dearie. No mistake. If there is anyone who can appear before Aslan without their knees knocking, well, they're either braver than most or else just silly.
Then he isn't safe.
Safe? Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about safe? Of course he isn't safe. But he's good. He's the king, I tell you.
I'm longing to see him, even if I do feel frightened when it comes to the point.
That's right! And so you shall. Word has been sent that you are to meet him tomorrow, if you can, at the stone table.
Where's that?
Oh, it's down the river a good step from here. But I'll take you to it.
But meanwhile, what about poor Mr. Tumnus?
The quickest way you can help him is by going to meet Aslan once he's with us. Then we can begin doing things. Not that we don't need you, too. For that's another of the old rhymes. When Adam's flesh and Adam's bone sits at Caer Paravel in throne, the evil time will be over and done.
Mrs. Beaver's right. And things must be drawing near their end. Now he's come, and you've come. We've heard of Aslan coming into these parts before. Long ago. Nobody can say when. But there's never been any of your race here. Not since the beginning.
Isn't the witch human?
She'd like us to believe it. And it's on that she bases her claim to be queen. But she hasn't got a drop of real human blood in her.
That's why she's bad all through, Mr. Beaver.
True enough, Mrs. Beaver. There may be 2 views about humans, meaning no offense to the present company. But there's no 2 views about things that look like humans and aren't.
I've known good dwarves.
Yeah, so have I. Yeah. Now you come to speak of it, but precious few. And they were the ones that were least like men. But in general, take my advice. When you meet anything that's going to be human and isn't yet, or used to be human once and isn't now, or ought to be human and isn't, you keep your eyes on it and you feel for your hatchet.
That's why the witch is always on the lookout for any humans in Narnia.
She's been watching for you this many a year. And if she knew that there were 4 of you, she'd be more dangerous still.
What's that got to do with it?
Because of another prophecy.
Is it?
Down at Caer Paravel, that's the castle on the sea coast, down at the mouth of this river, which ought to be the capital of the whole country, if all was as it should be. Anyway, down at Caer Paravel,
There are four thrones.
And it's a saying in Narnia, time out of mind, that when two sons of Adam and two daughters of Eve sit in those four thrones, then it will be the end not only of the White Witch's reign, but of her life.
And that's why we had to be so cautious as we came along. For if she knew about you four, your lives wouldn't be worth a shake of my whiskers.
I say, where's Edmund?
Who saw him last?
How long has he been missing?
Is he outside?
Oh, no.
Let's take a look. He can't have gone far.
Yes.
Oh, dear, it's snowing heavy now.
Edmund! Edmund! Edmund!
Come back inside, my dears, while we think about what's to be done.
What on earth are we to do, Mr. Beaver?
Do? We must be off at once. We haven't a moment to spare. Fetch the snow boots, Mrs. Beaver.
And we'll need some food.
We'd better divide into four search parties and all go in different directions.
Search parties, son of Adam? What for?
To look for Edmund, of course.
Oh. There's no point in looking for him.
What do you mean?
He can't be far away yet.
The reason there's no use looking is that we already know where he's gone. Yes.
But where?
Don't you understand? He's gone to her. To the White Witch.
Oh.
He has betrayed us all.
Oh, I'm so cold and tired and wet. Goodness knows how many logs I've tripped over and snowdrifts I've fallen in. I can't believe what they say about the Queen. After all, the people saying nasty things about her are her enemies, and probably half of it isn't true. She was nice enough to me anyway. Much nicer than they are. I expect she is a rightful queen, really. Anyway, she'll be better than that awful Aslan. Oh, I wish I could be sure I'm heading in the right direction.
Well, the fact is, Edmund's still our brother, whatever he's done, and we must go and look for him.
Go to the witch's house. Oh, don't you see, my dears? Your only chance of saving either him or yourselves is to keep away from her.
How do you mean?
All she wants is to get all four of you. Oh. She's thinking all the time of those four empty thrones at Caer Paravel. Once all four of you were inside her house, her job would be done. She'd turn you into stone, and there'd be four new statues in her collection. But she'll keep Edmund alive as long as he's the only one she's got, because she'll want to use him as bait to catch the rest of you with.
See, can't anyone help us at all?
Only Aslan.
That's right.
We must go and meet him. That's our only chance now.
No, what's important is, when did Edmund slip away?
When?
How much he can tell her depends on how much he heard.
Right. Now,
I mean, had we started talking of Aslan before he left?
Yes. Don't you remember? He asked if the witch could turn Aslan into stone.
You're right, Lou, he did. Just the sort of thing he would say, too.
Worse and worse. He probably was still here when I told you that we were to meet Aslan at the stone table.
The moment Edmund tells her that we're all here, she'll set out to catch us this very night.
You're right, Mrs. Beaver. We must all get away from here. There's not a moment to lose.
When I'm King of Narnia, the first thing I'm going to do is make some decent roads. The way to the Queen's house looked quite easy in daylight. But now it's dark, and with all this snow, it's so difficult to know if I'm heading the right way.
Are we all ready?
One moment, Mr. Beaver. Hmm? Just reach down that hand for me, will you, please? Right. Now, here's a packet of tea, sugar, matches. Oh, if one of you girls would kindly fetch me two or three loaves from the bread bin.
What are you doing, Mrs. Beaver?
I'm packing a load for each of us, dearie. You didn't think we'd set out on a journey with nothing to eat, did you?
But we haven't time. She may be here any minute.
That's what I say.
Get along with you all. Think it over, Mr. Beaver. She can't possibly be here for ages yet.
But don't we want as big a start as we can get if we're to reach the stone table before her?
Peter's right. As soon as she looks in there and finds we're gone, she'll be off at top speed.
We can get there before her, but we can keep undercover and go by ways she won't expect and perhaps get through.
That is true enough, Mrs. Beaver, but it's time we were out of here.
And don't you start fussing either, Mr. Beaver. Here we are. That's better. There's five loads. Here we are. One for each of you. The smallest. What the smallest of us. That's you, Lucy.
Oh, do please come on.
Well, I'm ready now. I suppose the sewing machine's too heavy.
Yes, it is. It's a great deal too heavy.
It is just that I can't stand the thought of that witch fiddling with it.
Oh, please, Mrs. Beaver, please, please do hurry.
Right. Well, let's go then, shall we? Oh, make sure you lock the door after us, Mr. Beaver.
Right,
that
right.
Will at least delay her a bit.
Thank goodness the moon's come out. It's as bright as day now. Only I wish there weren't quite so many shadows everywhere. It looks like the valley's opening out. I suppose I should have gone straight to the Queen when we got into Narnia, instead of going to the beavers with the others. At last! There are the two hills! And that must be the Queen's house!
The house was really a small castle. It seemed to be all towers. Little towers with long, pointed spires on them, sharp as needles. And they shone in the moonlight, and their shadows looked strange on the snow. Edmund began to be afraid of the house.
Well, there's the gates, and they're open. But what are all those strange shapes and shadows? There's a lion there, and he's waiting to pounce. It doesn't seem to have seen me. It isn't looking at me. It's that dwarf it's going to jump on. When it springs, that will be my chance to escape. Why doesn't it do something? It hasn't moved. Of course, it's not a real lion at all. It's a stone one. How stupid of me. I can see now its back is covered with snow. It's just a statue. Yes, cold stone. Fancy being frightened of a statue. I bet this is the great lion Aslan that they were all talking about. Well, that's the end of all their fine ideas about him. Nothing but an old lump of stone. Who's afraid of Aslan? Who's afraid of Aslan? I know just the thing for him. Yes, I knew I had a pencil in here somewhere. Now then, let's give him a moustache and a pair of glasses. Now you can see me better, Aslan. I'm going to be king of Narnia, not you. Now I must find the Queen. Hello, there's one of those fawn creatures. I wonder if that's Lucy's precious friend, Mr. Tumnus.
As he crossed the courtyard, he saw that there were dozens of statues. There were stone wolves and bears and foxes. There were lovely stone shapes that looked like women, but who were really the spirits of trees. There was the great shape of a centaur, half man and half horse, and a long dragon-like creature, and a great horse with wings. And right in the very middle stood a huge man, as tall as a tree, with a fierce face and a shaggy beard and a great club in its right hand. They all looked so strange, standing there perfectly lifelike, but perfectly still, in the bright, cold moonlight.
There's a doorway over there. That must be the way in. There's another statue on the top of the steps. A stone wolf lying there, as if it were on guard. It's all right. It's only made of stone. It can't hurt me.
Who's there? Stand still, stranger, and tell me who you are.
My name's Edmund. I'm the son of Adam that Her Majesty met in the woods the other day, and I've come to bring her the news that my brother and sisters and are now in Narnia. She wanted to see them.
Very well. Come in. Come in, fortunate favourite of the Queen, or else not so fortunate.
I've come, Your Majesty.
How dare you?
Your Majesty?
How dare you come alone? Did I not tell you to bring the others with you?
Please, Your Majesty, I've done the best I can. I've brought them quite close. They're in a little house on top of the dam, just up the river with Mr. and Mrs. Beaver.
Is this all your news?
No, Your Majesty. According to Mr. Beaver, Aslan's in Narnia.
What? Aslan? Is this true? If I find you've lied to me, boy...
Honestly, Your Majesty, I'm only repeating what I heard...
Your Majesty?
Make ready the sledge. We leave at once. And use the harness without bells.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Please, Your Majesty. Could I have some Turkish delight? You said...
Silence! And yet it will not do to have the brat fainting on the way. Here, you want something to eat? Turkish delight for the little prince.
That's dry bread. I don't want that.
Very well. But you may be glad enough of it before you taste bread again.
But what about your promises?
And what about your promise to bring your brother and sisters to me?
I told you where they are. But I'm the one who's going to be prince, aren't I?
Ha 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 ha! You little fool! Come, follow me!
All is ready, Your Majesty.
Very good. Put the human creature in the sledge.
Your Majesty, come along, boy.
But wait a minute, you can't!
Do as you are told, or it will be the worse for you. Morgrim!
Majesty.
Take the swiftest of your wolves and go at once to the house of the beavers and kill whatever you find there.
What if they are gone, Majesty?
Then make all speed to the stone table, for that is where they are headed. But do not be seen. Wait for me there in hiding. I must go many miles to the west before I find a place where I can drive across the river.
And if we should overtake them on the way to the stone table?
You will know what to do if you find them.
I hear and obey, O Queen.
I have done now all that I can do. It is time to be gone.
All right, everyone. Now, this is where we rest. In here. Mind your heads. This place wasn't made for humans.
Where are we, Mr. Beaver?
This is an old hiding place used by beavers in bad times. And a great secret. It's not much of a place, but we all need some sleep.
Well, if you hadn't all been in such a fuss when we were starting, I'd have brought some pillows.
Yes, we'd have had to carry them.
Well, I could just sleep about anywhere.
Anything is better than struggling through that snow.
Well, it's certainly good to be out of the wind. We're so warm up.
But we are safe from the witch here, aren't we?
Oh, of course we are, my dears. This is one place she'll never find. Now, something to eat and drink, and then let's all get some rest.
This is the place. Smell them out. They're not here, Captain. But they will... We have missed them. Do we follow them, Captain?
No. This new fallen snow has covered any tracks they may have left.
Come away to the stone table.
Can't you go any faster, idiot?
We're going as fast as we can.
Then use your whip.
Where are we going?
Be silent. Faster. Faster.
Wake up. Wake up.
What is it?
What's going on?
Listen.
I can't hear anything.
Shh. Listen.
I hear it. So do I.
It sounds like bells.
Harness bells. It's a sledge.
The witch!
Oh, I must take a look.
Mr. Beaver, no! She'll catch you!
Oh, she'll have a job.
But isn't it safer to stay in here?
We need to know which way she's going. Now keep quiet, all of you.
Are you taking a shit? He's been seen. She's caught him.
Now what do we do?
It's all right. Come out, Mrs. Beaver. Come out, son and daughters of Adam. It's all right. It isn't her.
Girls. Let's go and see, my dears.
This is a really nasty knock for the witch. It looks as if her power is already crumbling.
What do you mean, Mr. Beaver?
Didn't I tell you she'd always made it winter and never Christmas? Didn't I tell you? Well, just come up here and see.
It was a sledge, and it was reindeer with bells on their harness, but they were far bigger than the witch's reindeer, and they were not white, but brown. And on the sledge sat a huge man with a bright red robe and a great white beard that fell like a foamy waterfall over his chest. They all knew at once who he was.
Father Christmas!
Yes, I have come at last. She has kept me out for a long time, but I have got in at last. Aslan is on the move. The witch's magic is weakening. And now, for your presents, Mrs. Beaver.
Yes, sir?
I've a brand new sewing machine for you.
Oh, is that marvelous? Oh, thank you, sir.
I will drop it in at your house as I pass.
Oh, if you please, sir, it's all locked up.
Locks and bolts make no difference to me. And as for you, Mr. Beaver, when you get home, you will find your dam finished and mended and all the leaks stopped and a new sluice gate fitted.
Well, I never...
Now then, Peter, Adam's son.
Here, sir.
These are your presents. And they are tools, not toys.
A sword and shield.
The time to use them is not far off. Bear them well. The shield carries the sign of the lion, to remind you that if you have to fight, it will be Aslan you are fighting for.
Yes, sir. I'll do my best.
I'm sure you will. Susan, Eve's daughter, these are for you.
Thank you.
The bow and arrows you must use only in great need, for I do not mean you to fight in the battle. But if you do use it, you will find the bow does not easily miss. And when you put this horn to your lips and blow it, then wherever you are, I think help of some kind will come to you. And last, but not least, Lucy, Eve's daughter.
Yes, Father Christmas?
In this bottle, which is cut from a diamond, there is a drink made of the juice of one of the fireflowers that grow in the mountains of the sun. And if you or any of your friends is hurt, a few drops of this will make them better. And this dagger is to defend yourself if you are in danger, for you also are not to be in the battle.
Why, sir? I think. I don't know. But I think I could be brave enough.
I'm sure you could. And that shows great courage. But it is not Aslan's wish that you and your sister should fight. And now, here is something for all of you.
Oh, my! Hot tea! How did he do that? It's complete with teapot, milk jug, sugar bowl and all.
Thank you, sir. That's very kind of you, I'm sure.
Hey, up!
Oh, what a nice, good-hearted soul.
He wasn't a bit like the fat and jolly pictures of Father Christmas in our world.
Yes, he's the kind of Father Christmas you could actually believe in.
Let's have a look at that sword of yours then, Peter.
See? The hilt is made of gold.
Oh, very handsome.
Now then. Don't stand there talking till the tea's got cold. Here, girls, isn't it just like men? Now, come and help carry the tray down, and we'll have breakfast. Oh, yeah, wasn't it a good job, I thought, of bringing the bread knife?
Faster! Faster!
The Queen really is a witch, and she's not going to make me a king. It was all a trick. I see that now. I do wish I could find the others, even Peter. But perhaps something awful has happened to them already.
Stop muttering, fool. Well, well, what have we here? Stop!
A little way off at the foot of a tree sat a group of creatures having a party. There was a squirrel and his family, two fawns, a dwarf and a fox, all drinking wine and eating Christmas pudding.
What is the meaning of this? Where did you get these things?
Please, Your Majesty, we were given them.
Who gave them to you? Answer me, fox.
Father Christmas?
What? He's not been here. He cannot have been here. How dare you? But no. Say you have been lying, and even now you shall be forgiven.
Your Majesty.
He has.
How dare he? How dare you? I hope you have enjoyed your party, because soon you will be enjoying it forever, when I have turned you all into statues of stone.
Oh, don't, please don't.
Silence! That settled them. And as for you, you little wretch, take that! Let that teach you to ask favors for spies and traitors. Drive on!
On they raced, but something was happening. The snow that splashed up seemed wetter than before, and at the same time it grew less cold. It was also becoming foggy. Every minute the sledge grew slower, and then began to jerk, skid, and jolt along, and then suddenly it stuck fast and wouldn't move.
What's happening? What's that sound?
It sounds like a stream.
Nonsense. All the streams are frozen. Well, don't sit staring, fool. Get out and help the dwarf. Come on, hurry up.
It's no good, Your Majesty. We can't sledge in this. Everywhere's thawing and fast.
Then we must walk.
We'll never overtake them walking. Not with the start they've got.
Are you my counselor or my slave?
Oh.
Do as you are told.
Yes, Your Majesty.
Tie the hands of the human creature behind it and keep hold of the end of the rope.
Yes.
And take your whip and, if need be, use it.
And so they began their walk, slipping and sliding in the slush and mud and wet grass.
Faster! Faster!
Every moment the patches of green grew bigger and the patches of snow grew smaller. Soon more and more trees shook off their covering of snow, and snowdrops and crocuses could be seen pushing their way up from the ground that only hours before had been frozen hard. Streams bubbled along, sparkling in the sunlight and reflecting the blue sky above.
Faster! Faster!
And then a bird sang, and soon there was chattering and chirruping everywhere, and the whole wood was ringing with bird songs. The fog had cleared, and a light breeze scattered drops of moisture from the swaying branches and carried cool, delicious scents through the air. A bee buzzed across their path.
Faster! Faster!
Oh, Your Majesty, you know what this is? This is spring!
No!
Your window has been destroyed, I tell you. This is Aslan's doing.
If either of you mention that name again, you will die instantly.
Oh, forgive me, Your Majesty, but something is going very wrong.
Tell me, can we reach the stone table before them?
No, it's no use, O Queen. They must almost be there by now.
Four thrones in Caer Paravel. What if only three of them were filled? Then the prophecy could not come true.
You mean kill the human?
Why not? Even if Aslan is in Narnia, he isn't here to stop me.
But the other three?
Aslan may not stop long. And then we would fall upon the three at Caer Paravel and do away with them.
Still, it might be better to keep this one for bargaining with.
What? And wait for him to be rescued? No, I think not.
Look, over there, a kingfisher, see?
So it is.
It's so beautiful.
I never thought I'd see another kingfisher in these parts.
I wish I understood what it all meant.
It's as if everywhere's gone from January to May in a few hours.
Yes. I reckon this is Aslan's doing. I mean, we know that it was the White Witch's spells that made it always winter here, so it stands to reason that this spring is somebody else's doing. And I say Aslan.
I wouldn't be surprised if Mr. Beaver wasn't right. After all, something's gone wrong, and badly wrong, with the witch's magic, and no mistake.
Come on, let's push on the last few miles to the top of the hill.
Look over there, the sea.
And there's the stone table.
It was a great grim slab of grey stone supported on four upright stones. And beside the table was a great pavilion with sides of yellow silk and cords of crimson and tent pegs of ivory. And high above it, a banner with a red lion fluttered in the breeze.
Look at all those creatures.
That they'll be here to meet with Aslan.
Who are those strange-looking women?
Those are the tree women and the well women. They are some of the oldest folk in Narnia.
Yes, and it's their music you can hear.
I've never seen so many different animals. There's an eagle and a unicorn and a horse with wings.
And leopards and dogs.
Oh, and a pelican, look. Oh.
What are those things that look like horses with men's bodies?
Why, they're centaurs. They're among the noblest of all Aslan's people.
And that must be him. Aslan, I mean.
Yes, Aslan.
Yes, daughter of Eve. That'll be Aslan, all right.
When they tried to look at Aslan's face, they just caught a glimpse of the golden mane and the great, royal, solemn, overwhelming eyes. And then they found they couldn't look at him and went all trembly.
Go on.
No, you first.
Oh, no. Sons of Adam and daughters of Eve before animals. Don't forget to draw your sword.
We have come, Aslan.
Welcome, Peter, son of Adam. Welcome, Susan and Lucy, daughters of Eve. Welcome, he beaver and she beaver. But where is the fourth? Well, will no one answer me?
He has tried to betray them and joined the White Witch, O Aslan.
That was partly my fault, Aslan. I was angry with him, and I think that helped him go wrong.
We were all to blame in a way.
Please, Aslan, can anything be done to save Edmund?
All shall be done, but it may be harder than you think. Meanwhile, let the feast be prepared. Come, son of Adam, and I will show you a far-off sight of the castle where you are to be king.
With his sword still drawn, Peter went with the lion to the eastern edge of the hilltop. The sun was setting behind their backs, and the whole country below them lay in the evening light. Miles away was the sea, and just where the land of Narnia met the sea, at the mouth of the river was a castle, shining in the sunlight.
That, O man, is Caer Paravel of the Four Thrones.
Aslan.
I show it to you because you are the firstborn, and you will be high king over all the rest. It is your sister's home.
Susan! Get up into that tree, Susan!
Stand back, the rest of you! Let the prince win his spurs.
I'm trying to climb the tree after her.
I'm coming, Susan. Hang on.
The wolf's seen him. The wolf's seen Peter.
So, son of Adam, you think you're a match for more grim, do you?
Oh, do be careful.
I can't bear to look.
Use your sword, Peter. Now.
Has he killed it yet?
Not yet. Again! Strike again! Well done, son of Adam! Well done!
Oh, thank you, Peter, thank you.
He can't hurt you now.
Quick, quick! Centaurs, eagles! I see another wolf in the thickets. There, behind you. He's just darted away. After him, all of you. He will be going to his mistress. Now is your chance to find the witch and rescue the other son of Adam. Hurry! Come here, son of Adam.
Aslan.
You have forgotten to clean your sword. Wipe it clean upon the grass. Good. Now, hand it to me and kneel. Son of Adam, I knight you. Rise up, Sir Peter Wolfsbane.
If we are going to kill him, then we had better do it at once.
I would have liked to have done it on the stone table itself. That is the proper place. That is where it has always been done before.
It will be a long time now before the stone table can again be put to its proper use.
True. Well, I will begin.
I have seen them. They are all at the stone table with him. They have killed my captain, Morgrim. I was hidden in the thicket and saw it all. One of the sons of Adam killed him. Fly! Fly!
No! There will be no more flying. Go quickly. Summon all our people to meet me here as speedily as they can. Call out the giants and the werewolves and the spirits of those trees that are on our side. Call the ghouls and the bogles, the ogres and the minotaurs. Call the crows, the hags, the spectres, and the people of the toadstools. We will fight! I still have my wand. Will not their ranks turn into stone even as they come on? Be off quickly! I have a little thing to finish here while you are away.
Yes, Majesty!
Now, we have no table. Let me see. We had better put it up against the trunk of a tree.
Get up.
What are you going to do to me?
Be silent!
I won't! Let me go!
Tie him fast.
It will be a pleasure.
What's that? What's that noise?
The knife, of course. She's sharpening the knife.
Is that our people already?
No! It's the enemy! Centaurs, eagles, bulls, stags!
Knock the knife from her hand!
Turn the words!
And the dwarf!
Help! Let them escape!
Untie the human!
The witch!
Who's got her?
You mean she's escaped?
I was after the dwarf! He's not here either!
Well, it wasn't my fault.
Here, what's that over there by the boulder?
It's only an oak stump.
How's the human?
He's too amazing.
Let him lie down. Give him some wine.
Here, drink this. Put it steady now.
Where am I?
You'll be all right in a minute.
We're here to take you to Aslan.
After they'd gone, everything was perfectly still in the valley. If you'd been there, you would have seen the moonlight shining on an old tree stump and a fair-sized boulder. But if you'd watched long enough, you would have seen the stump walk across to the boulder, and the boulder sit up and begin talking to the stump.
The fools. They know nothing yet of my magic.
But Aslan, your majesty.
They have taken the boy. He was mine by right. Now Aslan will have to reckon with me.
This is the best breakfast I've ever eaten.
Good news for a good morning.
What's that, Mrs. Beaver?
Your brother's up. They found him.
When?
How? What happened?
They brought him into camp late last night, and he's quite safe and sound.
Where is he, Mrs. Beaver?
He's with Aslan. Right now.
Oh, that's not a meeting I envy the lad.
No. Let's go and wait for him.
Here they come.
Here is your brother. And there is no need to talk to him about what is past.
Hello, Peter. Susan. Hello, Lou.
Hello, Edmund.
I'm glad you're all right.
It's good to see you.
I'm sorry, everybody. I really am.
That's all right. It's over now. We're just pleased you're back, aren't we? Oh,
yes. Thanks. You did it, Aslan, just as you said you would.
I said all shall be done, but I also said it may be harder than you think. What is it, leopard?
Sire, there is a messenger from the enemy who craves audience.
Let him approach.
Don't push me, leopard. Those claws are sharp.
What is your message, son of Earth?
The Queen of Narnia and Empress of the Lone Islands desires safe conduct to come and speak with you on a matter which is as much to advantage as to hers.
Queen of Narnia, indeed.
Peace, beavers. Tell your mistress, Son of Earth, that I grant her safe conduct on condition that she leaves her wand behind her at that great oak.
I agree to your terms.
My leopards will escort you to see they are observed.
A few minutes later, the witch herself walked out onto the top of the hill and came straight across and stood before Aslan. The three children, who'd not seen her before, felt shudders running down their backs at the sight of her face, and there were low growls from all the animals. Though it was bright sunshine, everyone felt suddenly cold. The only two who seemed at their ease were Aslan and the witch. It was the oddest thing to see those two faces, the golden face and the dead white face, so close together.
She don't look him in the eyes, you notice.
Mrs. Beaver.
You have a traitor here, Aslan.
Well, his offense was not against you.
Have you forgotten the deep magic?
Let us say I have forgotten it. Tell us of this deep magic.
Tell you? Tell you what is written on that very table of stone which stands before us? You at least know the magic which the Emperor put into Narnia at the very beginning. You know that every traitor belongs to me as my lawful prey, and that for every treachery I have a right to kill.
Oh, so that's how you came to imagine yourself a queen, because you were the Emperor's hangman. I see.
Peace, Beaver.
And so that human creature is mine. His life is forfeit to me. His blood is my property. He knows that unless I have blood, as the law says, all Narnia will be overturned and perish in fire and water.
It is very true. I do not deny it.
Oh, Aslan, can't we do something about the deep magic? Isn't there something you can work against it?
Work against the Emperor's magic?
I only meant...
Hush, child.
Fall back, all of you. And I will talk with the witch alone.
They all obeyed. It was a terrible time, this. Waiting and wondering while the lion and the witch talked earnestly together in low voices.
You can all come back now. I have settled the matter. She has renounced the claim on your brother's blood.
But how do I know this promise will be kept? Very well. Till the appointed time.
We must move from this place at once. It will be wanted for other purposes. We shall encamp tonight at the fords of Beruna.
I wonder how he settled matters with her.
After hearing that roar, Mrs. Beaver, I'm not going to be the one to ask.
After a meal, which was taken in the open air, they all set off in a northeasterly direction, walking at an easy pace, for they hadn't far to go.
Peter, son of Adam, walk with me and listen well to what I have to say to you.
I will, Aslan.
As soon as she has finished her business in these parts, the witch and her crew will almost certainly fall back to her house and prepare for a siege. You may or may not be able to cut her off and prevent her from reaching it. This means that you must have two plans for battle. One for fighting the witch and her people in the wood, and the other for assaulting her castle. The people of Narnia who do not serve the witch will fight loyally for you, but you must use their individual skills wisely. If you're in the open, the centaurs, bulls, and stags will provide you with a swift, strong cavalry. But if you find yourself in the woodland, then you must use the birds and smaller creatures. And remember to use the hawks and eagles, for you will find no better lookouts than them.
But you will be there yourself, Aslan.
I can give you no promise of that. But I will give you all the advice I can. And I have great confidence in you, son of Adam.
It was still afternoon when they came down to a place where the river valley had widened out, and the river was broad and shallow. This was the fords of Baruna, and here they made their camp. That evening, something seemed to be wrong with Aslan. He looked so terribly sad, as if his great heart were going to break. Aslan's mood affected everyone that evening, and when they finally went to their beds, Lucy couldn't sleep for thinking about the change which had come over the lion.
Lucy?
Yes?
Can't you get to sleep either?
No, I thought you were asleep. Susan?
What?
I've got a horrible feeling. Something about Aslan. Either some dreadful thing is going to happen to him, or something dreadful that he's going to do.
Do you really think he's going to leave us tonight, Lucy?
Where is he now? Is he here in the pavilion?
No, I don't think so.
Let's go outside and have a look round. We might see him.
All right, let's. We might just as well be doing that as lying awake here. Look.
What?
Over there, just where the trees begin. There's Aslan walking away into the wood.
Come on, let's follow him.
He's going back towards the stone table.
Doesn't look much like the Aslan we first met. He's walking so slowly and hanging his head as if he were terribly tired.
Lucy, I'm frightened for him.
He's stopping. He's seen us.
Oh, children. Children. Why are you following me?
We couldn't sleep.
Please, may we come with you, wherever you're going?
Well, yes. I should be glad of company tonight. Yes, you may come, if you will promise to stop when I tell you, and after that, leave me to go on alone.
Yes, of course we will.
Thank you, Aslan. Dear Aslan, what is wrong? Can't you tell us?
No. I am sad and lonely. Lay your hands on my mane so that I can feel you're there, and let us walk like that.
And so the girls did what they would never have dared to do without his permission, but what they'd longed to do ever since they first saw him, buried their cold hands in the beautiful sea of fur and stroked it, and so doing, walked with him.
Oh, children, children, here you must stop. And whatever happens, do not let yourselves be seen.
Oh, Aslan.
Farewell. Farewell, both of you.
Should we go back, Lou?
No, let's stay. We can at least hide in those bushes.
And this is what they saw. A great crowd of people were standing all around the stone table. And though the moon was shining, many of them carried torches which burned with eerie-looking red flames and black smoke. But such people... ogres with monstrous teeth, and wolves and bull-headed men, spirits of evil trees and poisonous plants. In fact, all those who were on the witch's side and whom the wolf had summoned at her command. And right in the middle, standing by the table, was the witch herself.
And hags and incubuses, wraiths, horrors, ifrits, sprites, ortimies, woozies, ogres and ettins. Behold, the fool has come. Bind him fast.
Oh, why doesn't he spring on them?
Oh, Aslan, do something.
You there, hags, dwarfs, apes, bind him, I say.
They're rolling him over.
Why does he let them?
Now they're tying him up.
I don't understand why this is all happening.
The lion is bound!
We have bound the great beast!
Well done!
You'd think they'd done something brave.
One blow from his paw could have killed all of them.
Drag him to the table!
Stop! First, let him be shaved.
Here, give me the shears. I am not afraid to shave him.
His lovely golden mane.
Why, he's only a great cat after all.
Afraid of.
Puss, puss.
Poor pussy.
How many mice have you caught today, pussycat?
Would you like a saucer of milk? Pussums.
Oh, Susan.
Susan, how can they?
I don't know. He looks braver and more beautiful than ever.
Muzzle him!
Don't tie out those little jaws, pussy!
If you can't bite us, can you?
Make sure those knots are tied tight!
Cowards! Are they still afraid of him even now?
Bring him to the stone table!
Oh, my God, Beth! What is she doing now? She's sharpening some kind of knife. An ugly, nasty-looking thing that looks as if it's made of stone, not metal. Look, they're lifting him onto the stone table.
Silence! Silence, all of you!
Oh, Aslan!
I can see his face in the torchlight. So sad. Not angry, not afraid. Just sad.
And now, who has won, Aslan? Fool! Did you think you can save a human traitor? Now I will kill you instead of him as agreed in our pact, and so satisfy the deep magic. But when you are dead, what will prevent me from killing him as well? And who will take him out of my hand then? Understand that you have given me Narnia forever. You have lost your own life, and you have not saved his. In that knowledge, despair and die.
Susan, they killed him. They killed Aslan.
How could they do it?
Listen to me, my people. Now that the great fool, the great cat, lies dead, we must set about what remains of this war. But do not fear. It will not take us long to crush the human vermin and the traitors and re-establish my rule in Narnia. Come! Follow!
At this moment, Susan and Lucy were for a few seconds in very great danger. As with a thundering of hoofs and a flurry of foul wings, the whole vile rabble came sweeping off the hilltop and down the slope right past their hiding place.
Susan, look at him. He's terrible. I can't bear to look at that horrible muzzle.
Perhaps we could take it off. Here, let's try.
Oh, the knots are so tight.
No, that's loosened it. See?
Oh, let me help. Good, it's coming undone.
There.
Oh, there's blood everywhere. Poor dear Aslan. Do you think we could untie him as well?
We can try. I'll have a go with his knot. See if you can undo that one.
Oh.
It's no good. Those monsters tie the ropes too tight. I can't even get my fingers into the knots.
So what are we going to do? We can't just leave him like this.
If only Peter were here with his sword. He could cut through the ropes.
I wish all the others were here. It's so lonely, just the two of us.
And Aslan. Although he can't comfort us now. Or ever again.
Lou, look.
I think it's getting lighter.
You're right. The sky over there isn't quite so dark.
Not that anything matters anymore. What's that?
What?
Those little grey things. Oh, how horrid. Nasty little mice crawling all over him. Shh, go away.
Wait, can't you see what they're doing?
Yes, of course. They're nibbling away at the cords.
They freed him. Oh, thank you, little mice.
He looks more like himself without all those ropes.
Only he'll never be himself again. What have they got to sing about?
It must be nearly morning.
Oh, I'm so cold.
Oh, so am I. Let's walk about a bit.
They walked to the eastern edge of the hill and looked down. The country all looked dark grey, but beyond, at the very end of the world, the sea showed pale. The sky began to turn red. Then, at last, as they stood for a moment looking out towards the castle of Caer Paravel, the red turned to gold, along the line where the sea and the sky met. And very slowly up came the edge of the sun.
What's that? I feel afraid to turn around.
Something awful's happening.
They're doing something worse to him. I know they are. Come on, let's look.
Lucy, the stone table.
It's broken in two.
Cracked from end to end.
Oh, no. Aslan's gone.
Come on.
How could they? They might have left the body alone.
Who's done it? What does it mean? Is it magic?
Yes. It is more magic.
There, shining in the sunrise, larger than they'd seen him before, shaking his mane, which had apparently grown again, stood Aslan himself.
Oh, Aslan!
Aslan!
Aren't you dead then, dear Aslan?
Not now.
Oh, you're real! You're real! Oh, Aslan!
But what does it all mean?
It means that though the witch knew the deep magic, there is a magic deeper still which she did not know. Her knowledge goes back only to the dawn of time, but if she could have looked back into the stillness and the darkness before time dawned, she would have read there a different incantation. She would have known that when a willing victim who has committed no treason was killed in a traitor's place, the table would crack and death itself would start working backwards. And now...
Oh, yes, Aslan, now!
Oh, children, I feel my strength coming back to me. Now then, children! Catch me if you can!
A mad chase began, round and round the hilltop. All three of them rolled over together in a happy, laughing heap of fur and arms and legs.
And now to business. I feel I'm going to roar. You'd better put your fingers in your ears. My, but that was good. Oh. Now, we have a long journey to go. You must ride upon my back and hold tight to my golden mane. And climb on, Susan.
Right.
And climb on, Lucy.
Up just then.
We must be off.
It was nearly midday when they found themselves looking down a steep hillside at a castle which was all pointed towers.
The witch's home.
The gates are shut.
How will we get in?
We'll jump over the battlements.
Over the battlements?
Yes. Now hold tight, children. Oh. Here we go!
What a strange place. All those stone animals. Oh, and people, too. It's like a museum.
Shlu, Aslan's doing something.
He's going up to that stone lion. What's he doing?
He's breathing on him, I think.
Yes, you're right, he is. And look what's happening. There's a streak of gold running along the white marble back.
The colour's spreading, licking all over him like a flame.
Then, while his hindquarters were still obviously stone, the lion shook his mane, and all the heavy stone folds rippled into living hair.
Susan, look! All the statues are coming to life.
Oh, yes.
There's a unicorn. Oh, it's so beautiful.
And a centaur, like those who helped rescue Edmund.
Oh, and look at the dwarfs. How happy they all seem.
Oh, look. Now Aslan's breathing on the feet of that great stone giant. Is it safe?
It's all right. Once the feet are put right, all the rest of him will follow.
That wasn't quite what I meant.
Bless me. He must have been asleep. Now... Where's that ratted little witch that was running about on the ground a moment ago? Somewhere just by my feet it was.
The witch is no longer here. You are among friends, and I am Aslan.
Aslan? Well, well, bless my soul. What has been going on?
Time for explanations later. Now for the inside of the house. Look alive, everyone. Upstairs and downstairs and in my lady's chamber. Leave no corner unsearched. You never know where some poor prisoner may be concealed.
Aslan! Aslan!
What is it, child?
I found Mr. Tumnus. Oh, do come quick.
I'm coming.
Here he is, over here, under the stairs.
Goodness me. Why, it's Lucy, daughter of Eve. However did you get here?
I came with Aslan.
Aslan? Oh, dear, dear, dear. Oh, whatever can I say?
Nothing needs to be said. The past is dead and I am alive, as are you, son of the woods.
And so the ransacking of the witch's fortress went on, until at last the whole castle stood empty. Only then did the liberated statues surge back into the courtyard.
The gates are still locked. How are we going to get out?
That'll be all right. You're forgetting the giant. Hi, you up there. What's your name?
Giant Rumble Buffin, if it please, Your Honor.
Well then, Giant Rumble Buffin, can you use that club of yours?
Of course I can, Your Honor.
Then let us out of this, will you?
Certainly, Your Honor. It'll be a pleasure. Stand away from the gates, all you little uns. Now to get rid of those towers. Look out below! There! That's been undone it.
Well done, Giant Rumble Buffin.
Blowed if I ain't all in a muck sweat. Comes from being out of condition.
What a nice giant he is.
Silence, good people. You have all done well, but our day's work is not yet over. And if the witch is to be finally defeated, we must find the battle at once. Climb on my back, girls. And you, Mr. Tumnus.
Will we be in time, Aslan?
So long as the dogs find the scent of battle.
I hope Peter and Edmund are all right.
Oh, don't worry, daughter of Eve. We'll show that witcher thing or two.
Bravely said, good Tumnus. But the witch herself is mine.
Oh, 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 oh! This way, Aslan, this way!
Come! There is no time to be lost!
Soon, all the dogs, wolves, foxes, and other hunting animals were going at full speed with their noses to the ground. And all the others, stretched out for about half a mile behind them, were following as fast as they could.
Aslan, look! Up ahead!
We have arrived not a minute too soon.
Why, there's that dratted little witch!
The giant's right, it's her!
And she's fighting Peter! Oh, Aslan, she's got that awful stone knife for you!
There's Mr. Beaver, fighting with that wolf!
Oh, do be careful!
Where's Mr. Beaver?
Where's Edmund?
Oh, no!
What is it?
I've just realized there are statues everywhere! The witch has been using her wand again!
Oh, no. Oh dear me, that is bad!
All our people are here now! Off my back, children. Stand back. I'm going to roar again. Our hour has come, good folk of Narnia, when we shall put the enemies of our land to flight. Take courage, all of you. Today, you will be fighting for Narnia and for Aslan.
Aslan's people rushed madly on the enemy lines. Dwarfs with their battle axes, dogs with their teeth, the giant with his club, his feet also crushed dozens of the foe, unicorns with their horns, centaurs with swords and hoofs.
Aslan has come. We have Aslan fighting for us.
Aslan? It cannot be. He is dead.
No! I am not dead. I am alive, and I have come to take back what is mine.
No! No!
You
Queen of Narnia no longer. I have returned!
There was a look of terror and amazement on the witch's face as the lion flung himself upon her. The battle was soon over. Many of the enemy were killed in the first charge of Aslan and his companions. And when those who were still living saw the witch was dead, they either gave themselves up or took to flight.
Well done, Sir Peter Wolfsbane. You fought bravely.
It was all Edmund's doing, Aslan. We'd have been beaten if it hadn't been for him. He fought his way past three ogres to where she was just turning one of your leopards into a statue.
And when he reached her, he had the sense to bring his sword smashing down on her wand instead of trying to go for her directly.
Anyway, once her wand was broken, we began to have some chance, if we hadn't lost so many already.
I'm afraid your brother was terribly wounded.
Oh, no.
Where is he? We must go and see him.
So Mrs. Beaver's looking after him. Over there, away from where the fighting was.
Let us go to him.
Oh, Edmund!
Don't upset yourself.
But he's covered in blood and looks
Lucy,
so
where is that bottle you were given as a present?
Of course, I'd forgotten about
Quickly.
That. Here it is.
Now, put a few drops of the liquid into his mouth.
There.
Lucy, is that really you, Lou?
Yes, Edmund. And Susan, and Peter. We're all here.
Oh, is it over?
Yes, it's all over. Aslan has returned.
Aslan!
Lucy, there are other people wounded.
Yes, I know. Wait a minute.
Daughter of Eve, others also are at the point of death. Must more people die for Edmund?
I'm sorry, Aslan.
Come, we will go together.
For the next half hour, they were very busy. When at last Lucy was free to return to Edmund, she found him standing on his feet, and not only healed of his wounds, but looking better than she'd seen him look for ages.
Hello, Lou.
Hello, Edmund.
I've caused a great deal of trouble one way and another. Can you ever forgive me?
Of course I can.
Edmund, son of Adam, come here.
See you later, Lou.
Give me your sword and kneel. Here on this field of battle, I make you my knight. Arise, Sir Edmund.
Does he know what Aslan did for him? Does he know what the arrangement with the witch really was?
Shh, no, of course not.
Ought he to be told?
Oh, surely not. It would be awful for him. Think how you'd feel if it were you.
All the same, I think he ought to know.
And now, we rest. For tomorrow, we go to Caer Paravel.
The next day, they began marching eastward down the side of the great river. And the day after that, they reached the river mouth. Before them were the sands, and the long miles of bluish-green waves breaking forever and ever on the beach. And towering above them on the shore, the castle of Caer Paravel. And there, in the great hall with the ivory roof, and the west wall hung with peacock's feathers, and the eastern door which looks towards the sea, the coronation was held.
Here in Caer Paravel of the Four Thrones, I crown you King Peter, Queen Susan, King Edmund, and Queen Lucy of Narnia.
Long live King Peter!
Queen Susan!
Long live King Edmund!
Long live Queen Lucy!
Once the king or queen of Narnia, always the king or queen. Bear it well, sons of Adam. Bear it well, daughters of Eve.
That night there was a great feast in Caer Paravel, and revelry and dancing, and gold flashed and wine flowed. But amidst all these rejoicings, someone quietly slipped away.
Where's Aslan?
He was here just now.
Where can he have gone?
Surely he's not left us again.
Oh, he'll be coming and going. One day you'll see him, and another you won't.
And of course he has other countries to attend to.
Oh, it's quite all right. He'll often drop in. Only you mustn't press him.
He's wild, you know. He's not like a tame lion.
The years passed, and these two kings and two queens governed Narnia well, and long and happy was their reign. They caught and destroyed what was left of the White Witch's army, and made good laws and kept the peace. So they lived in great joy, and if they remember their life in this world, it was only as one remembers a dream. And then one year news came that the White Stag had once more appeared in the land. The White Stag who would grant you 3 wishes if you caught him. So the kings and queens of Narnia decided to go hunting. They soon saw the stag and chased it long and hard until it disappeared into a thicket, and they had to pursue it on foot. It was there they came upon a curious thing. A pillar of iron with a lantern on top. And as they looked at it, they began to remember something from long ago. And the kings and queens knew that if they went any further, their lives would change forever. They decided to go on and entered the thicket. But before they'd gone far, they all remembered that the thing they'd seen was called a lamppost. And before they'd gone much farther, they noticed that they were making their way not through branches, but through coats. Yes, coats. And the next moment...
It's the empty room in the wardrobe.
Of course. I'd almost forgotten.
We're back!
Listen.
Yes, almost.
Unless I'm mistaken, that's Mrs. MacCready and the visitors.
You're right.
It must still be the same day.
We've been in Narnia all those years, and yet we've come back only minutes after we left.
Well, I think we should tell the professor.
Yes, we should.
Good idea.
Right.
Well, that is quite a story.
Do you believe us?
Of course I believe you. But you won't get back into Narnia again by that route.
Will we ever get back, do you think?
Oh, yes, of course you'll get back there someday. Once a king in Narnia, always a king in Narnia. But don't try to get there, and certainly not through the wardrobe.
How will we get there if we don't try?
All it'll happen when you're not looking for it. And don't even talk too much about it among yourselves. And whatever you do, don't mention it to anyone else. Unless you find that they've had adventures of the same sort themselves.
But how will we know?
Oh, you'll know all right. Odd things they say. Even their looks will let the secret out. Just keep your eyes open.
That was Tales of Narnia by C.S. Lewis, dramatized by Brian Sibley, with Maurice Denham as the Professor, Stephen Thorne as Aslan, and Rosemary Martin as Jadis. Other parts were played by John Baddeley, Julie Berry, Norman Bird, Simon Cuff, Abigail Doherty, Alan Dudley, David Goodland, Steve Hodson, Neil Jeffrey, Polly March, Clifford Norgate, Diana Olson, Camilla Power, and Henry Power. Tales of Narnia was produced by Jeff Marshall-Taylor.